Thank you, choir, and Margaret and Walter for your music. Every year on April 2nd, I find myself thinking about love. Because many years ago on this day, a certain young man asked me a very important question. Here's what he asked me. Do you want to go to Woodward Park and feed the ducks? Now, you need to know that was an absolutely normal question. We'd gone there so often that I was in the habit of saving all the leftover and stale bread and the ends of the pieces of the loaves and all of that. And we called it duck bread, and I just kept it in a bag. And every now and then when he would arrive at my apartment door, I'd grab the bag and off we would go to the park. So when he asked me to go that day, I thought I knew what I was getting into by saying yes. But this time, when the ducks had eaten all the bread and we were sitting on the grass a ways away from the pond, Brian turned to me and said, "Will you marry me?" Why, isn't that sweet? He said, "Will you marry me?" Well, we had talked already about getting married, so I said, "Sure," very casually. And then he said, "No, I really mean it. Will you marry me?" And then he brought out a little bitty box with a really pretty ring. And all the rest, of course, is history. And I think we've both learned a lot about love in the years since then, but one thing stands out in my mind. It is a good thing. It's a good thing to be loved, and it is a good thing to love. And there is no one, my goodness, better to learn about love from than Jesus. So tonight, we remember Jesus' new command that his disciples should love one another. And he did tell them, and tell us too, to do that. But one of the funny things about loving someone else is that you can't really do that very well until you've been loved yourself. The less we've been loved by others, or the more hurt we may have been by those who were supposed to love us, the harder it is to really, genuinely give love without having all kinds of strings attached. It's kind of like standing in a big long line of people flying kites, and as soon as the strings start to cross over and get tangled up, it's awfully hard to keep those kites in the air, and they usually just come crashing to the ground. It has been said that unless we have a prior life-consuming experience of God's love for us, we will be poorly equipped to love anyone else. Jesus knew this truth, and he accounted for it with his disciples, because right after he said, "Love one another," he added these words, "As I have loved you." He meant that his love was to be our example of how we should love one another well, without a doubt. And we often pay the most attention to that part of the command, and rightly so. But tonight, I want to focus us on the second half of the equation and have us meditate on Jesus loving his disciples, the ways that he loved them. And as we watch him loving them, I want us to see Jesus loving us in those same ways. And just for tonight, we're going to let the other facets of the gospel stand aside and fix our eyes on Jesus' love for his disciples and for us. I want us to grasp it, to grab hold of it the way a drowning person grabs hold of a lifeline, and wrap our minds and our arms around his incomparable love. And I have great hope, that as we do, the Holy Spirit will root Jesus' love more deeply into our hearts. Now, to give us time for that, I'm going to pause for a few moments from time to time along the way. And as we take time to do that, I would encourage you to open yourselves to the movement of the Holy Spirit, just in the quiet and the silence as we go along. If you haven't already done so, please open your Bible or the pew Bible in front of you to the Gospel of John, chapter 13, and we'll begin at verse 1. And while you're turning there, I'm going to say that this is such a familiar text, so some of us might need to be very intentional about staying focused as we hear it once again. Hear now. God's holy word from the gospel according to John, chapter 13. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not every one was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." And then adding, verse 34, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Honestly, whenever I read this passage, my attention gets caught up at the first verse. There are two phrases. Having loved his own, who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Those two phrases. As I thought about Jesus loving his own, I couldn't help but think, well, what would be the very beginning of that? The first love in action that we could point to. The incarnation. When Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, gave up the glory of heaven, came to the dust of earth, was born of a woman, and lived in a body of flesh and bone. And he did all of that because of love. Not just love for his own who were in the world then with him, but those of his own who are in the world even now. And just a little further on in John from where we are today, Jesus is going to pray to the Father and say, not only for these disciples, but for those who will believe through their message. Jesus lived to make us his very own. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us so much. Holy Spirit, take this quiet moment and apply Jesus' presence to our souls. When Jesus was ready to start his public ministry, he spoke to each one of the 12 and he called them by name. Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, all the rest. Tell me something, would you? Have you ever heard Jesus call your name? Have you ever heard him calling you and saying, "Follow me"? And if you answer that by saying, "Yes, Jesus, I will follow you," hasn't he walked faithfully with you, just the way he walked with his disciples? Yes, there have been times of difficulty and doubt and sometimes confusion and some other stuff that wasn't real great, but there have been so many times of joy and laughter and goodness too. And he's never left you alone, not once, not once. because he is our faithful covenant keeper. He spoke the Father's words, and he showed us the Father through his perfect obedience. Jesus, thank you for loving your own in this world with an everlasting love. Holy Spirit, take this quiet moment and apply Jesus' love to our souls. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. When dinner was already in progress, Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. As Jesus laid aside his robe, he laid aside the status that he had as their Lord and their teacher. And as he took up the basin and the towel, he took up the role of the least of servants. Washing the disciples' feet, he demonstrated to them the quality of God's love, serving even Judas, who he knew would betray him, and Peter, who would deny him before the next morning had fully dawned. Jesus, knowing that God had placed all things in his hands, took those hands and took the dirty, filthy feet of those men he knew so well, passing on the example of an entirely selfless love. He revealed the Father's love to them when they were confused, impatient, terrified, overwhelmed, argumentative, grief-stricken, cowardly, unfaithful, self-absorbed, power-hungry, and uncomprehending. In other words, he loved them when they were just like us. He loved them completely. And in the upper room, he poured out that love through his actions and his words. Jesus' words reassured them that the Father himself loves you. He promised them the Holy Spirit, who would be with them as their counselor and guide, and he gave them the gift of peace. Not peace like the world gives that's dependent on circumstances, but peace that passes all human understanding because it's founded in Jesus himself. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us completely, just as we are, and that you are resolute and determined to wash us from our sins so that we can take part in your life and your mission. Jesus, lover of our souls, touch us tonight with your self-giving hands. Make us whole. Wash us clean. This we are bold to ask because of your great love for us. Holy Spirit, take this quiet moment and apply Jesus' healing to our souls. Jesus loves the disciples thoroughly, and he loves them to the very end of his life on earth. He must finish the work that the Father has given him to do, and it causes him great anguish, beginning in the upper room, as he was troubled in spirit and said, "One of you is going to betray me." And of course, his disciples stared at each other. They couldn't figure out who it might be. Can you imagine that moment? Jesus knows that the time has come for him to leave this world. It's imminent. He looks at his closest friends, knowing that he will be betrayed, denied, and deserted by them to a man. Judas goes out into the night, and Jesus tells the rest of the disciples once again all the things he wants them to know. His love is so great that he presses on, leading them out into the Garden of Gethsemane, where he knows he will be arrested. Every step of the way, Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what was going to happen and exactly where it would lead, to the cross, the ultimate revelation of his love. The disciple John wrote, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us." Jesus, how can it be that you would die for someone like me? For people like us, whose only claim to your love is that you have chosen freely to give it. What can we say but to give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us to the very end. Holy Spirit, take this quiet moment and apply Jesus' life to our souls. In the lives of the disciples, the result of Jesus' living, breathing love was that they became more and more what he set out to make them. They became his friends, and then they learned to live as friends to one another. They experienced increasing joy in knowing, loving, and serving Jesus, and then they learned it more. They became filled with the Spirit, just as Jesus promised when he said, "The Advocate will come, whom I will send to you from the Father. The Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." They learned and became witnesses to all that they had seen and heard in Jerusalem and Judea and even unto the ends of the earth. From then on, until now, we stand in the long line of their testimony to the truth about Jesus. As John testified, Jesus is the Word who became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And he calls us friends. He fills us with his Spirit. He grows us up in his joy. Hallelujah! What a Savior! Holy Spirit, take this quiet moment and apply Jesus' truth to our souls. Dearly loved 21st century disciples, take up these words of Jesus, wrap your arms around them, and hold them to your heart. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Holy Spirit, take this quiet moment and apply Jesus' words to our souls. Let us continue in prayer. Oh God, would you so root us, so establish us in your love that we may have power, together with all God's people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, who loves us so well. Tonight, Lord Jesus, let your love be made real among us, as together we remember the way you served your own and loved them to the very end. May we meditate on what it means that you loved us and sacrificed yourself for us as we come humbly to your table. This we pray in the name of Jesus, our King. Amen. Jesus Messiah is Lord of all, and most importantly, he loves us more than we can begin to comprehend. What a thing to celebrate tonight. He has washed our feet and given us a charge to wash the feet of one another. And so as you go for these next few days, we're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. So would you please put your hands out and receive the benediction from the Lord. Now to him who is able to do far beyond anything we could ever ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and forever and ever in his people. And all of God's empowered and beloved disciples said, Amen. Go in peace.